All right, it is good to see everyone this day on this January 3rd, 2021, the first Sunday of a new year, 2021. And I want to praise God that God was with us in 2020. He is with us in 2021, and we're going to look to Him and worship Him and lift Him up. And we are continuing the study that we started 2 weeks ago that kind of led us to the wise men. So we're there again, and hopefully next week we will resume our 2020 study of the Jesus that we never knew. So today's message is entitled, "And They Gave Unto Him." And they gave unto Him. And we'll be in Matthew 2, and we'll begin in verse 9 today. And we're going to look quickly at what the wise men gave unto Jesus. And as we begin 2021, we want to examine ourselves and say, you know, what is it that I'm giving unto Jesus in this life? And you're going to see a Hebrew word that adds a nuance unto giving unto Jesus. And so hopefully we'll gain some understanding. Matthew chapter 2 verse 9 says this, "And when the wise men had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down, worshipped him. And when they had opened their valuable treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for the privilege of assembling in your name today. And I want to thank you, Father, for those that are in this building. Father, it helps so much just to have two or three in a building, or 10 or 15 in a building. And Father, it gives you that energy to feed off of and to attempt to minister to. And so I want to thank you for those folks. I want to thank you for the folks that are listening to our website today, those that are local and those that are in other places, Lord Jesus. We just thank you so much for them. And we know, Father, that you will minister your word to these dear souls that have no reason to listen to us, but a desire to. And so we praise your holy name. Father, I pray right now for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I pray to be cleansed by your blood as I confess these things out loud, Lord, as best I can, as your word says to. And Father, as I do that and examine your righteousness and the filthiness that exists within my own carnality, I have hope for victory in you, Lord Jesus, because I know that you have already ultimately defeated the judgment of sin in my life. I pray for these daily victories in this life. And Father, as I come to you today, I pray for the anointing of that Spirit as washed in the blood and anointed with the Spirit, a spirit of humility to wash the feet of the people that are listening. Lord, I must decrease and you must increase. But Father, as our musicians have played today, we are so blessed. And if we were to count our blessings and name them one by one, we focus on your goodness and your goodness toward us. In your name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 2 verse 9, it says that they heard the king, they departed, they saw the star, it went before them, stood still over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So they saw the star, and this was last week's message, they knew the significance of it. They set out, they traveled, they sought, and they found. God had revealed himself. He had manifested a sign. He had gotten their attention. And as we shared last week, there are times in your life where you may be going through a difficult situation. There are times in your life where, everywhere you turn, something else is going on. Well, what I want you to understand is You know, God may be trying to get your attention. He may be trying to stop you in life. As the star was stopped over where the child was, He's trying to stop you in life where Jesus is, so that you can meet and commune and fellowship, and maybe for the first time in your life, get honest with God. You know, I told Patty last week, it seems like every week there's another funeral for us. There's another funeral. And as I was getting ready Wednesday, I said, I feel like I'm in the midst of a circle of people, and they're just spinning you around. And they're spinning you around, and you're seeking God, saying, you know, how are you going to minister to this family? And how do you minister to that family? And I praise God that every morning I can get up and drop my anchor in a place of quietness and communion and fellowship before God and get that strength and get that foundation. And I feel sorry for folks that are going through things in life personally or within this country or within the world facing this pandemic, and they don't have Jesus as that anchor to the soul and that foundation to strengthen them. So God revealed Himself. He got their attention. They sought, they found, they rejoiced, they bowed down, they worshiped, and they gave. Verse 11. They gave unto Him gifts. They presented or they gave unto Him gifts. Now, that word gifts in the Greek is doron, D-O-R-O-N. Now, you can give a gift today to anybody. But the most important thing about the giving of a gift or anything you do is your motivation. Why are you giving somebody a gift? A lot of times folks give somebody a gift because they want something in return. You know, why do folks go to church every Sunday? Some folks go to church because they're seeking God and wanting to grow in God and appreciate what God has done. Some folks just go out of tradition or out of habit or because they think it's a good thing to do. So this Greek word in Matthew 2:11 gives you the reason that they gave. Now, doron means this. It is a gift of honor or respect or reverence for a person of position or authority. It is a gift of honor, respect, or reverence for a person of position or authority. Remember what they said unto Herod? They said, where is he in verse 2? That is born king of the Jews. That was the custom of the time. When a head of state visited another head of state, they would take them gifts. And it still goes on today. When someone comes to Washington to visit the president, a lot of times they'll bring them something. When the president of the United States goes to France or Saudi Arabia, they'll give them something. So the reason that the wise men brought gifts, it was revealed to them through the prophecy of Balaam that this great world leader, this king of Israel, was going to be born under a star. They had studied the prophecy. And so their motivation, you know, I doubt very seriously they had any kind of spiritual understanding. You know, this was the Savior of the world. You know, the message of the angel to the shepherds was, hey, a Savior's born. And I don't know what they understood. Did they mean save me from our sins or save us from Roman oppression? But the Jew went first. The shepherd got to the manger first. The Gentile, the wise men, followed later. Maybe as late as 2 years later, but this was a customary honor and reverence that the wise men gave unto the Lord. Now, it's important, and it was beautiful, and it was wonderful, because they gave unto Him out of respect, out of homage, and their acts were sacrificial. They gave of their time and they gave gifts of great value. Now you say, well, Brother Leo, what would benefit them in doing that? Well, maybe when Jesus was king of Israel in their mind, they may have needed an ally. And so he could hear what his mother told him or what Joseph told him about these three representatives of these Arab countries that came and offered gifts at his birth, and they bowed before him. So it was probably political in nature, but still they gave unto him out of respect, and their gifts were sacrificial, and they gave gifts of value. And as I consider the wise men, you know, and if I were one of them, number one, what kind of gift of value would I have given? And number two, would I have even made the sacrifice to make the trip with the understanding that I have? Because it took a great amount of time, and you know, we want to hold on to our time. Our time is our time. You know, to take 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months or 2 years off and go on some trek. You know, just to go on a mission trip. And so we analyze ourselves as we examine what the wise men did. So, the wise men gave out of respect, honor, and reverence. But they gave unto Jesus. So as we begin 2021, I'm going to ask you two questions. And number one is this. What are we giving to Jesus in our present day lives? What are we giving to Jesus in our present day lives? What are we offering up unto Him out of our own lives? And number two, what's our motivation? Why do we give unto Jesus? Or why should we give unto Jesus? All right, go with me to a very familiar verse. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And you know the verse, but we're going to turn there. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture says this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved me, He gave His only begotten Son. So why do I give unto Jesus? I give unto Jesus because Jesus has already given unto me. I give unto Him because He gave unto us. So what I want you to understand is when I'm giving unto Jesus, I'm giving out of a spirit of gratitude. And the scripture there says, for God so loved the world that He gave Jesus. In 1 John 4:19, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to quote it to you. 1 John 4:19 says, I love Jesus because He first loved me. I love God because He first loved me. I give unto Jesus because Jesus gave unto me first. I want you to understand all your interactions between yourself personally and Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, they are all interactions of responses. God is never asking anybody to just step out on their own and go seek Jesus. God is never asking anybody to just step out on their own and be thankful unto God just because of who He is. God is leading us and guiding us by always reaching out to us, always making the first move. And you got to understand, that's how the Lord works. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't wait for them to come to the door of the garden and get down on their knees for confession. Jesus made the first move. The second person of the Godhead came down to the Garden of Eden, walking in the cool of the evening, and He called out, Adam, Adam, Adam. So I want you to understand, when the Lord's dealing with you, or the only way the Lord deals with you, He is always reaching out, He is always reaching down, and He is always making the first move toward you. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. And you say, well, the wise men went and sought Jesus. Yeah, they sure did after they saw the star. God always makes the first move in revealing Himself to us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 6. When we were yet without strength and weakness, lost people, in due time Christ died for them. When I was ungodly, when I was a child of disobedience, Christ still died for me. For scarcely for a righteous man, for a good man, would a person die. Yet peradventure for a good man some folks would die, but God commended his love toward us when we were rejecting God, when we weren't thinking about God, when we didn't want anything to do with God in our lives. Jesus Christ loves us so much, he has never given up on us, and he has always made the first move. Go with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And I ask you right now, what kind of first move is Jesus making in your life right now? Always reaching out. Always drawing. Always helping us come to the end of ourselves. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the scripture says this, and this is Jesus speaking. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and Jesus Christ came to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. John chapter 15. We give because Jesus has already given. In John chapter 15, verse 13, the scripture says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. Put your name there. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for Leo Doyle. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for Charles Hastings. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for you. So I give unto God, because God has already given unto me, and the ultimate gift that he gave for me was his life, his sacrifice. He faced my judgment, his pain, his bloodshed. All these things that God has given unto me, I give because he gave. Not that he demands that I give, Martha Jo, but that out of a spirit of gratitude, I have come to the conclusion I owe Jesus Christ everything. So we give because he's already given unto us. So the psalmist asked this question. Go with me to Psalm 116. And this is a good question to ask yourself in 2021. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all the blessings that he has poured out in my life? Look at verse 7b. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. What shall I render unto the Lord for all the bountiful blessings that the Lord has blessed me with? It's a good question. It's a good question for me, for you, all his benefits toward me. What has God already done in my life? Verse 7 says that he has dealt bountifully with me. Verse 6 says, I was brought low and he helped me. Verse 8 says that he has delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He has delivered my soul from death and salvation. He has delivered mine eyes from tears by comforting me through hard times in my life. And he's delivered my feet from falling when I tripped up. God has picked me up. God has shown me mercy. Verse 5, our God is merciful. So all these wonderful things that the Lord has done in my life is going to grow in me a sense of gratitude unto the Lord. The Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Let's examine that bountifully with me. Go with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And in the 23rd Psalm, I want you to notice a verse of Scripture. In verse 5, it says this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord has dealt bountifully with me, God, and my cup runs over. Now, you know, I want to praise God for all the blessings that God has given me, but I want you to understand something. God has not given me just blessings. God has blessed me with much, 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 much more than I'm ever going to need. You know, we say all the time, Jonathan, oh, God's going to supply our needs. When's the last time God just supplied your needs? Now, I mean, if God's just going to supply my needs, well, then I've just got enough food, Jody, when I get home for one more meal. But guess how much food I've got in two freezers and a full refrigerator and a cupboard as big as that sound room back there, you know, and how many bathrooms and bedrooms and acres do I need? So it's not that God's just blessed us. He has blessed us exceedingly and overly. Go with me to Psalm 68. So am I going to give unto God? And I'm going to show you that word here in a minute. It's going to blow your mind. But anyway, Psalm 68 verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads me down with benefits, even the God of our salvation. That word in the Hebrew, loads me down, means that every day God blesses you with a heaviness and an overabundance of blessings. You know, Patty, I'm going to gripe and complain and bellyache. You know, I heard a guy speaking on the news the other day. He said even the poorest people in America are blessed more than 70% of the rest of the world's population in third world countries. The poorest people in America are blessed more than 70% of the populations in third world countries. And we got people burning the streets down because they just don't have enough. Well, I'm going to tell you today, I've got more than enough, and it's not because of me. It's because of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's because of God, and it's because God has blessed America. And so in all that we're going through today, Martha Jo, I couldn't believe y'all were playing that song, Count Your Many Blessings. And then before that, We Are So Blessed. And I'm sitting here knowing what my outline is going to say. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament. If you get to Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, you've gone too far. Yeah. I learned that in seminary. We need the laugh track, Dave. We got to get a laugh track. All right, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Look at what this says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room in your life to receive it. You know, that's Martha Jo where we get the song, there shall be showers of blessings. There shall be showers. Not enough room because of the overflow of all the blessings and the goodness that God has brought into our lives. So, in the first Sunday of 2021, we want to look back on all these previous years and see that God has dealt bountifully with us. My cup runs over. I am daily loaded down with blessings, and there is an overflow of blessedness in my life. So I give unto God because He gave unto me and continues to give unto me. Now go back to Psalm 116 and let me show you this Hebrew word. And this changes everything. You know, what am I going to give unto God this year? What am I going to give unto God this week? Psalm 116 verse 12 says this. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, I've just told you all this stuff that God's done for us, but that's not the message. The message is they gave unto him. Now, that word render, what shall I render unto the Lord? That in the Hebrew is shuv, S-H-U-V. And I've intentionally misquoted it, this whole message, because it doesn't mean to give unto God. There's another word that would mean to give. This word means a giving back to. This word means to give back. It means a rendering back to. It would be like me giving Dave five $100 bills and then Dave giving one of them back to me. So the word shuv means a giving back to, a rendering back to. Zadaiti says, whenever you see that word, it is a recognition of God as the source of all that I possess. A recognition of God as the source of all I possess. You don't have to turn there, I'll quote it to you. James 1:17. Every good gift, Jennifer, every perfect gift, every good thing that I have in my life has come down from God, who is the creator of the stars. That's James 1:17. So the psalmist is wanting you to have a mindset by which you are not giving unto God, you're giving back to God a portion of what he's already blessed you with. So I'm a little bit different than the wise men. I'm coming from a whole different perspective when I give unto God. So the question is, what am I giving back to God based on what he's already blessed me with? That's Psalm 116 verse 12. And as we played earlier today, I am so blessed by the goodness of the Lord's hand. Count your many blessings. So it is an offering back to God. And this goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. So when you go all the way back to Cain and Abel, you are offering back to God out of the flock that he has blessed, that he is fed, that he is protected, and that he is multiplied. Or if you raise crops, you're offering back to God out of the crops that he sent the rain, he kept them from disease, he grew them, he let the sun shine. So I want to ask you a simple question today. When it comes to giving back to God, are you a Cain or are you Abel? Well, you know, I can't give this to God. No, I'm not asking you what you can give to God. What you got to understand is on January 3rd, 2021, everything you've got in your life that's good has come from God to start with. Everything. And I'll show you that in a few moments. And that's what that word means. What shall I render unto God? What shall I offer back to God? And so the psalmist answers this. In verse 13 he says, I will take the cup of salvation, I will call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Now, the cup of salvation there in the Old Testament is actually called the cup of dedication. And what you would do, you would go to the temple on the Sabbath after the Lord did something wonderful for you, and it was almost like you would rededicate your life. And it was a cup of dedication, a cup of commitment, or a cup of thanksgiving. And you are thanking God for a specific goodness that he did in your life. And the psalmist talks about it in verse 6. He said, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Verse 8, the Lord delivered my soul from death. So he must have been in a dire position. verse 3. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found sorrow and trouble. And I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. So, you know, Melissa, I can say we need to thank God for health. We need to thank God for money. We need to thank God for our jobs, our family, our loved one. In this case, he's looking back over his life or a certain situation, and he's thanking God for his mercy getting him through a tough time. Jerry, what am I going to give back to God for all the tough times he's gotten me through? Goodness. And a lot of those tough times were my own fault. My own sinful choices. And yet God, in his mercy, was patient with me and took bad situations that I caused and turned them around. And so the psalmist is saying, what am I going to render unto God for all that he has done unto me? Verse 16, he says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Look at what he says in verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. So how do we offer? How do we give back to God? Number one, it's through service to others. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to serve others. You know, we had someone burned out in our community here a week before last. Hopefully somebody, y'all took a check down to the credit union to help out, or you donated something to help out. You know, based on the fact that, hey, my house didn't burn down 2 weeks ago, and praise God, I've got an overabundance of stuff. I went through a closet yesterday just to move 20-something sports shirts out of it so I could get some winter stuff into it. Maybe there's somebody, I just wrote it, maybe somebody just lost a loved one. Maybe you can take some time and minister to somebody emotionally. You know, I wrote this down. I know someone that took money for a burned out family, spent a couple of hours with a person in their home that lost a loved one, and took groceries to a family with COVID. And she did all of that in just last week. Then got her husband's clothes ready and supported him preaching a funeral. So what are you going to do? And she'll get mad at me for saying it, but it's the truth. But the bottom line is, we got folks that never think about doing anything for anybody else. And the blessing is in the service. You know, have you helped somebody lately in the name of Jesus? Because there are plenty of people with needs out there. But notice what else he says. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows. I will pay my vows in the presence of all his people. What's the second thing you can do? You can have a testimony or a witness for God publicly in the presence of all the people. Am I not going to take a stand for Jesus when he took a stand for me on Mount Calvary? Am I not going to take a stand for Jesus against the devil when he endured all the devil's wrath for me on the cross? I can give back. Oh, Brother Leo, I had somebody tell me on the phone. I had a guy in business in the Carolinas tell me this. And then I had a guy in the ministry in the Carolinas tell me this. And both of them made the same statement. You know, we listen to you. And you know, you're in a situation where you can take a stand. I'm in a situation where I can take a stand, Tim. And the point is, you know, Wayne County Bible Center, you know, it's not a religious affiliated church and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're Leo Dole and that's kind of your church, blah, blah, blah. You know, my boss, and if I take a stand, our company, blah, 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 blah. The least we can do is say, I'm going to stand for godly biblical morals. I'm going to stand for family morals. And if something's wrong according to the Word of God, you know, whether I work for a company or whether I pastor a Methodist church, I'm going to take a stand against it. Not because I'm some great person, but because of all He's done for me. So in that word, shuv, what shall I render unto God for all that He's done for me? The bottom line is, I'm giving back unto God because He's taking a stand for me. And then notice what He says. The first thing is He's going to serve others. The second thing, He's going to take a stand for God. The third thing in verse 19, He's going to go into the courts of the Lord's house in the midst of Jerusalem, and He is going to praise God. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Leo? Well, what did He have to do to do that? What did you have to do to make an Old Testament sacrifice? Well, you had to set aside time. He had to take time out of His day. He had to go to the temple in Jerusalem. He had to purchase either a lamb or a dove or some kind of animal to offer up a sacrifice. He had to meet with the priest. So what He had to do was, now look at what it says. Verse 12, what am I going to give back unto God for all the blessings He's given to me? Well, I'm going to take time today to go to the temple. I'm going to purchase a sacrifice. I'm going to offer it up to God, and I'm going to praise Him. So it was a sacrifice of time, a sacrifice of energy, a sacrifice of money, and a sacrifice of effort to do that. Now, we don't go to the temple. We don't have to. See, our temple is our body. Our altar is our mind and it is our heart. Am I going to set aside time today to go to the prayer closet? Am I going to set aside time today to go to the quiet place? To offer up my undivided attention and focus on Jesus. To offer up a sacrifice of intercessory prayer for Mona, for Randy, for Miss Jane, for LaDonna, for Miss Betty Edwards, for Coach Bird, for all these folks that are battling COVID, for Mr. John Castleman who's now battling pneumonia. Am I going to take time to get alone with the Lord and offer up prayers for Jennifer, for God's wisdom and treatment? Am I going to take time and thank God that Patty's not sick and I'm not sick today? Am I going to offer up a time of confession for my sin? Am I going to set aside that time unto God? Well, Brother Leo, how long is that going to be? I don't know how long it's going to be, but you got to understand there are 24 hours in January 3rd, 2021, and guess who's the source of every one of them? The Lord Jesus Christ. And here I go, Jody. If somebody listening's got 2 hours to watch The Bachelorette, they ought to have 300 hours to get along with Jesus in the prayer closet. That's how weak this culture is. I'm getting so nauseated from this culture. I could almost throw it up. I can see where it says you can spew it out. This culture is consumed with fluff. You know, we buried Mr. Norman Bear. You know what he did in 1944 at 16 years of age? He ran away from home and joined the army to fight for America. And then when he finished in the army, you know what he did? He went out and joined the Navy to fight for America. You talk about a hero. We got people burning down the streets in this country, and we got leaders that are letting them do it. This country was founded by geniuses. It's being run by spineless cowards. God help America. We live in the softest generation that has ever existed. Yeah, old Brother Leo, we just don't have the time. My friend, you're exactly right about that. You don't have the time. The time belongs to Jesus. It's God's time. It's not your time. What am I going to render back to Jesus today on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day? Because He's the one that gave. But for the grace of God, I could be in St. Thomas on a trek today. We are to give back unto God with a true spirit of gratitude and appreciation and a sense of value for what the Lord has done for us. And so we set aside time. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Verse 7. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. All His bountiful blessings, physical life, health, breath, family, loved ones, provision, houses, clothes, food, jobs, money, church, pastors, people who have helped us in life. I thank God coming in today for how good the heater was on our car. I mean, praise God for that. There weren't any heaters in that wagon when Miss Cole and her twin headed out to Arkansas or Oklahoma or wherever they were going when she was a little girl. A true recognition of and an appreciation for what God has blessed us with in our life. And I'm going to quote James 2:18. People say all the time, I've got faith. And James says, well, if you got faith, show me your faith by your actions. You know, God expects more than just thank you, Jesus. But praise God, that's a start. Because a lot of people don't even say thank you, Jesus. The job you have today is because of Jesus. The provisions you have today are because of Jesus. And so we are to render back unto God. Let me show you something in Malachi. I'm going to close out in Malachi today, where we were a minute ago. Still the last book in the Old Testament. I want to give you the principle of the tithe. Malachi 3, verse 10. And let me, as I give you the principle of the tithe, I want you to understand in the New Testament church, you're not under the principle of the tithe. There is, and I realize a lot of New Testament churches teach you've got to tithe. That's not true. It's not true at all. The tithe is, for a New Testament church, it's a pattern for an individual to consider and see what he's going to give unto the Lord. And giving unto the Lord doesn't necessarily mean just giving to a church house. You can buy groceries for someone in need in the name of Jesus, you're giving unto the Lord. You can help somebody, that's going through a hard time, like in Nashville with all the restaurants and bars and everything that's closed in the entertainment industry. You can take your whatever the government's sending you so it can go broke this time and help somebody else with it. You know, I've not lost my paycheck through this thing. I've been paid every week, every month. The people that are making the rules and closing down the places, they ain't lost their paycheck. But let me give you the principle. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that my house will be provided for. Prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and I'll open you the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out blessings on your life. There'll not be enough room to receive it. I remember the first money I ever made. I was 13 years old. I had two uncles in Charleston. They're electricians. And one of them, his helper quit. And he was in the middle of a big job downtown. When I say downtown, downtown Charleston. Houses that were built in the 1800s. And so I went and worked for him the whole week. Did you know anything about electrical work? Didn't know a thing. Didn't have to. You know what I had to know, Jeremy? I had to know how to lay on my back. Take a end of a wire coil and crawl on my back under about 24 inches with snakes and spiders and everything else that could be under a house, and then nail staples as best I could as I pulled wire. Now, I ended up doing that all through high school. Anytime they needed somebody. And there were times I did other stuff above ground, but it was menial stuff. But I was paid $40. Worked 5 days, 8 hours a day, paid $40. And in 1973, I thought that was good money. And I can remember that Sunday my mama telling me, "You got paid this week. You need to take 10% of that." She believed in the tithe to church. And so I took $5. For some reason, it just hit me. When it's all said and done, I'm not going to shortchange God. I'd rather have given him more than what he's asked. Not that he's even asked, but in my mind. So it's been my privilege my whole life. That's just been my deal. But let me give you the principle. The principle is this. I got Lauren. Lauren, at the end of this service today, if I were to walk up to you and offer you 10 $100 bills and tell you you can keep all 10 of them, I just want you to give me one back. And when you give me that one back, that $100 bill is going to be a blessing. Bring you all the tithes that there may be meat in my house. It's going to be a blessing to other people. I'm going to use that money that you give back to help and bless other people. And also, because of your spirit of giving it back, you're going to be blessed. And you're going to enjoy those 9 $100 bills and be able to get more out of them than you would normally. Because a divine hand's going to be involved in it. Now, you wouldn't turn that deal down, would you? I mean, you'd walk out of here with 9 $100 bills. All you had to do is give one back. Now, when I thought of this, I was going to say, well, that's God. But I'm wrong. God's even better than that. God would let you keep all 10. He wouldn't say, "You got to give me one back and keep 9. He'd let you keep all 10. If you didn't want to give the one back. Because he's not going to force anything on anybody. But the reason Lauren was giving the one back to me was because I'm the one that gave her the 10 in the first place. So she's not actually giving me anything. She's just giving back to me what I just gave unto her. And so the psalmist is saying in Psalm 116, "Lord, in 2021, what am I going to give back to you based on all the blessings that you've already given me? And what am I giving back to you based on all the blessings that you're giving unto me? You know, I got 3 healthy children or 5 healthy children or 1 healthy child or a healthy grandchild. I'm going to give to St. Jude's in Memphis in honor of God blessing them with health. I'm going to give to Jewish Voice because Paul said, because of the nation of Israel, we've got the oracles of God and Messiah himself. I'm going to bless Israel. I'm going to give money to Wounded Warriors because they gave their limbs and their bodies so that I could live in freedom. I'm good. All these situations and opportunities we have in life to bless other people is based on the fact that God has blessed us so much. So Martha Jo, as we close today, I'm going to ask you to play "We Are So Blessed" one more time. And I'm going to ask us to meditate upon that for a few moments today. And I'm going to ask you to just ask the question of Psalm 116, verse 12. And ask yourself, "Lord Jesus, what shall I give back to you in the coming year? What shall I get myself and my family involved in which we're giving back based on all you have done for us? Because, Lord Jesus, we are so blessed." So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's spend a few moments counting blessings, but making commitments unto God to give back unto Him.